Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
The following program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. At Whole Foods Market, we offer premium products without premium prices. Our everyday value items are free of artificial preservatives, colors, flavors, sweeteners, and hydrogenated fats. Priced competitively to average supermarket prices, the 365 Everyday Value brand offers food that meets our strict quality standards. Compare our peanut butter, canned beans, and cereals to the other guys. You'll see what we're talking about. Visit one of our six Manhattan stores in Tribeca, Bowery, Union Square, Chelsea, Columbus Circle, or the Upper West Side. Open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. For more information, visit www.wholefoodsmarket.com.
All right, it's another week of Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. This is Heritage Radio Network. It is a gloomy Monday in March, but brighter days are soon ahead, especially this Saturday. Gosh, at the Bell House, we're going to take over. These two people are very involved with it. It's going to be called, it is called Beer for Bees. It's a sold-out joint event with Six Point and Beer Advocate. And we also have amazing entertainment from Peter Aguero and Company. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
He is actually here.
Jersey Fresh.
Jersey Fresh
Burlesque. Jersey Fresh Burlesque. Did you guys just come up with that name, like, on the fly? Or
I'm from New Jersey. I'm obsessed with New Jersey.
What exit?
From South Jersey. It's not really near an exit. It's more...
Listen to you,
South
suburbanite.
Jersey.
What exit? As if you identify where you're in Jersey by your proximity to New York.
A lot of people do.
No. It's the turnpike.
Because there's the turnpike. I guess I'm closest to exit 5 near Burlington.
It's because there's too many towns in New Jersey. You can't even keep track of the names of things.
There's a lot. The town I grew up in is called Delanco, and it's very small. About 1,500 people. It's all farms.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Yeah.
That's quite far from where I grew up.
Yeah. I'm country mouse.
Gotcha.
Jersey Fresh. I love it. It's like Jersey cows, fresh milk, with no pasties on the udders.
That's a double entendre.
That little interlude was from Shane Welsh, Six Point founder, president, and veteran guest on Let's Eat In. This is like your fifth time.
Fourth.
Yeah. So... Peter, you've put together so many different burlesque shows, but your specialty is more about storytelling, correct?
Yeah, I guess that's what I do the most. I have a lot of experience working with The Moth. About 3 years ago, I started going to their shows and telling stories, and now I teach for their outreach program, and I host shows for them in New York.
At The Moth?
At The Moth, yeah, and on the road.
Cool.
And through friends of mine, they're storytellers that also do burlesque. I guess about 2 years ago, I started doing burlesque shows, hosting burlesque shows, and telling stories at burlesque shows.
Do people get the wrong idea when they say, I do burlesque shows?
I guess, yeah. It's all like a band of gypsies. I've done a burlesque act before.
Nice.
I had somebody make me big giant pasties
with tassels.
And I did it as I did a fan dance with pizza boxes.
See, it's all, the humor, I think, is the key of burlesque.
Absolutely.
If you ask me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the, like, there's like the classic burlesque stuff, like, you know, from way back in the day, and it was all about titillation and whatnot. And now, like, there's like a new movement in burlesque that I guess started, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, that it's really all about telling a story in 4 minutes. You know, some kind of, there's the humor's really right. key. It,
so it's like, know? I spilled this on my dress and now I have to take it off. It's like,
yeah,
it
stuff like that.
There's more complex, you're saying.
And then, you know, a lot of the girls will do stuff with, you know, a lot of like pop culture stuff. And there's a group called Epic Wind Burlesque that they do. It's like, they call it like burlesque for nerds. They do theme shows. They've done like a Batman show.
Oh my gosh.
They do Muppet burlesque. They've done, what else?
Muppet burlesque?
Yeah, Muppet burlesque is awesome.
Okay. Where do I get to see that?
Piggy? You look all around. Like, there's, well, yeah, there was at the Muppet burlesque show, there was a Miss Piggy act, a Big Bird act.
Oh my gosh.
My friend Mary, who's going to be in the show at the Bell House, she did a Cookie Monster act that was awesome.
Nice.
It's fun. These girls come up with just amazing stuff. You know, they'll do like video game stuff, like a Lara Croft act or all kinds of different stuff.
And they come up with it themselves. So they're the choreographer, the artist, the performer, everything. Costume maker, too.
That's the beauty of it. And I think that's what draws a lot of people to it, is that with burlesque, you can pretty much just come up with an idea. Maybe you come up with an idea for a theme, or you listen to a song or whatever, and there's no barrier between you and the stage. You come up with the act, you choreograph it.
No clothing barrier too.
Yeah. Well, you know what the cool thing is like, you know, everyone ends up for the most part in like paces in a G-string, right? So right. So like that's the great, you know, equalizer.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I think what's really interesting is since that happens, it makes like the sexuality of it a moot point, because since everyone's doing it, so then they can be freed up to do, you know, people just all kinds of social commentary, or like I said, you know, pop culture stuff, or, you know, inside jokes or whatever. It's really, I've seen some acts that will just blow you away. There's one girl who's in the show on Saturday. She's not going to do one of these acts, but she's a trained opera singer, B.B. Hart, and she'll do an act where she has this one that is a heartbreaker, where she's dressed up as a soldier in World War II.
What?
And she gets a letter, and she reads the letter, and it's, you know, ostensibly a letter from home, like a Dear John letter. And as the act goes on, she sings an aria in Italian. It's heartbreaking.
Wow.
And she just, you know, starts to take her clothes off. And at the end, she's at the, you know, the crescendo of this aria. She's, you know, pretty much naked emotionally and physically right there.
Oh my gosh.
It is just, it's jaw dropping.
That's quite far from like the typical kind of rowdy bar crowd expectations. So I would think
it is.
Okay. So are we going to be sobbing into our beers on Saturday?
No. We have great performances lined up for Saturday. The three performers we have are Mary Sin, who is a producer at a show called Original Sin Burlesque that happens at Lucky 13 and Park Slope twice a month. And she has two acts that are just, the ones we picked are just, you know, really high energy, fun acts. Like, she has one that's like a Irish dancing girl act. There's a whole lot of spinning to it. She's like a green dress and she spins around a lot, and there's a potato involved.
You like that, Shane?
Hey, if there's a potato involved, what's not like
it? And she also has another act that we'll keep secret that she's gonna do. Then we also have Cherry Pitts, who she's a producer of Hotsy Totsy Burlesque, which is a great show that's been running for a while. She has two acts she's doing. One is kind of like a sexy 50s secretary kind of act, and the other one is she's took an act that she had that was all about Wonder Woman, and she's turning the end around and tailoring it specifically for you guys. She's showed me some of the costume pieces she made, specifically with the 6-point logo on it, and it
winning.
Will be, yeah.
One word.
I hear
it used
there
to
will.
Be, it used to be for the win. Now it's just winning.
Just winning. Yeah, thank you, Charlie. Yeah.
I hear there will be 6-point star-shaped pasties.
Yes, the girls this week actually we're going to get together and have a pasty bee.
Nice.
And,
so you guys make them from
They're handmade
sticker, fabric. I don't know.
There's a whole process to it. They take about a half hour each pair to make.
What?
Yeah.
Well, so they're not just like a cut and paper glue.
No. This is arts and crafts.
Okay. Embroidered.
They bedazzle everything. Bedazzle. These girls are addicted to rhinestones and glitter.
Rhinestones.
If it's ridiculous. It's kind of like
Urban sequin cowboy.
Sequins everywhere.
Hand stitched panels.
Everything. Okay. They make their own stuff too. It's unbelievable.
Gosh. Yeah. We'll have to look forward to this.
Oh, and then the third performer is again BB Hart, who's mm-hmm. also a producer at a show called Storybook Burlesque, and she has again two. They're each doing two acts. She has one that's like a really high energy, like kind of. Take on a fan dance, like a Latin fan dance, and then the other one is
sort of like your fan dance,
a little, but with a little more
grace.
Things that people want to see. Rather than
the Latin fan dance will be paired with the Calexico tacos.
Yeah, that's the truck, right? Those guys, they make amazing tacos.
Yeah, they're going to be at Beer for Beasts. Then you can eat your taco while watching the Latin fan dance and washing it down with El Gordo Baracho, which is the beer that we made just for this event.
Yeah, I was looking
at Mexican spiced lager. It's pretty awesome.
I was looking at the list of beers you guys.
It's not as good as Macho Grande though.
You guys made how many new beers for this event? Like a bunch of like small batch beers for this, right?
Like 20 some.
There's over 20 new never released beers.
And they're never going to be elsewhere because we're going to drink them up at the event.
Yeah, like the entire, because we made like a micro batch.
Yeah.
A nano batch for this event.
Like one keg of each one?
Yeah, like it'll yield roughly one full-size keg. So for the people listening out there, a keg is 15 and a half gallons. And the batch that we were using is roughly about 20 gallons. So you get 1 1/3 the size of a regular keg yield, and that's it.
It's not quite a homebrew size, though. It's larger than most people can manage at home, like 20 gallons, right?
Yeah, typical homebrew size is around 5 to 10 gallons, and that yields about a 5-gallon batch, just so you can figure out what that means in your head. It's like two cases of beer.
Yeah.
So two 24 packs of 12-ounce bottles. That's what a 5-gallon... Yeah, not a whole lot at all. I mean, an event with 1,200 people, they'll plow through that.
You know what we should do is take a poll to see what flavors people like the best. Should they be able to try them all, or just get some feedback, and maybe we can recreate some that were really good.
We thought about that, but then, everyone's going to be distracted by
the
burlesque.
Boobs will do that.
But, no, there's so many different things going on in there already that... the intent was to just be like a fountainhead of creativity and let people soak it up and kind of stay away from quantifying everything and just let people meander and have a good time.
Cool.
Fountain of beer in the center, too. What about that? And so, like the chocolate fountains.
I'm down with it. I don't know how sanitary it would be. I always thought about having a fountain of beer that... like, it'd have to be set up in a way where, you couldn't have anyone immerse their hand or any part of their body into it. Or tits. Right? But if you could hold a like, imagine this, one of the things about a fountain, too, is that as the water drains down, it gets pushed back up. Mm. The problem with, if you do that with beer...
It's going to bubble too much.
Yeah, you have foaming issues because it's carbonated. And then also, as you... pump it back through, it loses its carbonation, so you'd have flat beer and it wouldn't be cold either. But there's a way around it.
You're like Willy Wonka with that chocolate waterfall.
Right. Yeah. What you have to do is when it gets pumped back in,
it's,
and it goes through
beer.
The recirculation, you have to run it through like a heat exchanger, so you get it down at just above freezing and then recarbonate it and get it back up to the perfect carbonation level, so then when it comes back out, it's
perfect temperature and perfect carbonation.
So clearly this wouldn't be a connoisseur's type of serving.
No, but think of how effective it would be. Because in a typical party or even at a venue, you have to wait in line to get a beer behind a bar. But if you could just hold your cup up to a fountain that was just spewing beer and you fill it up that way, it would be much more efficient.
But within 45 minutes, some drunk guy would... just go to swimming.
Right. See, that's the issue, too. It's a good thought.
Well, let's take a quick break. You chose a song. Which one is it, Peter?
Oh, it's one of my favorite musical artists is Tom Waits. And he just got inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But
you sound kind of like him.
It's a whiskey and cigarettes.
Nice. Let's put that on. We'll be right back.
Smell like a blues, looking like a train. Ain't got a quarter, got a quarter. 5 o'clock, shadow buzzing all around the town. Talking with the old man sleeping on the ground. Bizarre blues, hooting out, hooting out, call. Child is a popper with a telephone. Fish that dime, got the spike-heeled shoe. Striptease, prick-tease, car keys, blue. You got your porno, you got your floor show. You got your live loony girl. Dreary and a creamy in the brunette guy. Chester Morgan, watermelon roll. Red my rim, dang off all your clothes. You got your trench coat, you got your magazine. Got a bottle full of rum. She's so good, you make a dead man come. You got your best melody, mirror and shine. Watching through the shot glass and a buffalo squeeze. Rim shots, front row, backstage, who cares? All of it's out of the burlesque for me. God doesn't see the reason that you see.
The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune into The Food Scene Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network. Hosted by Michael Harlan Turkel, photo editor of Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan magazines, he'll further explore the amalgamation of food and art by talking to artists from a multitude of media. Guests will range from photographers, food stylists, interior architects for restaurants, industrial designers, all the players that make you want to eat with your eyes. Get ready to feast your ears every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
All right. Thank you, Tom Waits, newly Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Well deserved. So we're here on Let's Eat In with Peter Aguero, who's going to be emceeing at Beer for Beasts this Saturday, and Shane Welsh from Six Point. Who's going to be, I don't know, are you going to MC at all, Shane? Or just eat some pizza?
No, I'm not going to MC, but I'm going to drink a lot of beer.
Okay.
And enjoy everything. Also, there's a couple other things that are happening at this event that haven't been mentioned. And they were just sort of surprises we were going to unload, but I might as well do it now.
Ooh.
Nice.
Secret.
It's a scoop.
Listen up.
We're having a friend, a very talented poet friend, come in, and he's going to basically give a toast for the entire event, and also may sprinkle the rest of the event with some, by just dropping some knowledge, like more of like a acapella style thing.
Okay.
But it was inspired by, if you get like some old albums from like the mid to late 70s, a lot of the earlier new age and punk music that was coming out of England, especially around Manchester, they had poets who, between acts, they would get up on stage and they would just go off. And a lot of it was like very disgusting poetry.
But it was perfectly suited to punctuate the different events and different things that was going on at the time.
How so disgusting? Like, kind of like raunchy or?
Yeah, just in it, you know, in its diction, and it's not pleasant. It wasn't soft on the ears, so to speak, you know. But it got the folks riled up. It got them. It was like preparatory for the rest of the event. Hmm. So, as you know, a lot of good musicians in Brooklyn and New York, but a lot of good hip-hop, especially in Brooklyn, too. And the funny thing is if you look at the way hip-hop's been commercialized, or most people's perception of it is, they package these artists as these gang-banging, hard dudes that kill people and everything. It's really ridiculous. They're selling an image, but if you think about what they are, they're poets, mm-hmm. people who create rhymes, they're people who create, they're wordsmiths, and anyone who participates in that realm has to have like a sensitive side to them, or at least an artistically inclined side, because you can't create stuff like that without having an appreciation for language. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to we have some friends who are MCs, so to speak, in that sense, and they're just going to come in and drop a toast and get the whole thing rolling.
Started,
yeah,
cool.
It's going to be awesome.
Both of the day and night.
Yep, that's
cool.
Right.
All right, so tons of entertainment. I'm just going to switch gears for a couple seconds here and talk about food, because that's what I like to do on this show. It's called Let's Eat In. And so I think I know enough about Shane's food perspective for now. but Peter, do you ever... Okay, I'll just drop the question. I like to ask everyone on the show this. What do you consider, or what do you think would be like the perfect date meal, the most sexiest date dish? What is it? Pizza?
I like one of my favorite stuff that... I mean, talking about eating in, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about... cooking, and I love to cook.
You do? Cool.
yeah but I think the sexiest food to me is Mexican food. It's really simple ingredients, and it's all right there in front of you. It's like fresh, but it's also so many flavors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Really spicy,
and we're talking about real Mexican, not Tex-Mex, not
no like I like the stuff, you
burrito.
Know like, no like just everything with, you know, just you know, a lot of lime juice and, you know, big chopped onions and cilantro and things kind of just mixed in there together. Like, my favorite thing to make is like a kind of like my own tortilla soup, kind of. It's like a thick red broth with like roasted tomatillos in it. So it has like that citric note to it.
Hmm.
With like corn and chicken thighs. Mm. You know, chicken thighs are good. That's very sensual.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that they're thighs.
And then when you boil
meat.
It too, you have to pick it apart, peel it off the bones and stuff like that. That's
Well, I like to grill them first and then take them off the bone and shred it and like put it in the soup, and then you pour the whole thing over, you know, some like tortilla strips or tortillas, and it's just like there's just so much going on there. And I don't know, that spice or something about that spice that just gets you going. I think that would be
the tomatillos from? I don't know.
Well, I like red chili. When I make that, I do, you know, like chipotle peppers.
Oh.
Or just like smoked jalapenos. And then fresh jalapenos too, because I like to have that, like, kind of like fresh bite with mm-hmm. that, with also like that
smoky,
slow burn.
Dark, yeah.
The two together really makes a big difference. And
that sounds awesome.
Lime juice on top and everything. It's just like, I like that kind of like slow smoky stuff with like fresh bright notes on top of
cilantro maybe on the top.
Sure, yeah
some
absolutely.
Red onion chopped.
I'm addicted to cilantro.
Nice. Well, that's definitely good. A new one.
Yeah.
Is there something about spice too that really kind of gets people horny or not?
Yeah, it's just, you know, like there's spice gets your, you know, like here comes Shane.
The doctor's in. No, I gotta drop some science.
Do it.
The reason why spice is typically associated with being, like, food-wise, as an aphrodisiac, is so much of sexual performance is based upon good circulation, and basically when you eat a lot of spice, dilates blood vessels, and
endorphins
sends,
too.
Yeah, it sends endorphins, and then it also, when you send the blood up to your head too, increases circulation in your erogenous zones on the side of your neck, your forehead, your lips.
What about
all those things?
Mm-hmm. You start like sweating, all your foods are getting all loose, and
yeah.
You're getting lubed up. But it's pretty cool like that. Also cinnamon. I was reading about cinnamon's really interesting because it's typically known for that, like it's like a aphrodisiac herb spice, but what it does is it's really good for your mouth, apparently.
To chew, like on a cinnamon stick or bark?
Like, it's good for your gums. It's good for your whole mouth. If you have a cut, like cinnamon gum is actually a good gum to chew. Like, the original chewing gums had a purpose, so mint helps digestion. Cinnamon is just good for your mouth. So if you have, like, gum problems, or if you have a cut or something in your mouth, that it'll help heal. But it's really good for I can't say it on the air.
But it freshens your breath. But, that's what you're gonna say.
Yeah,
now.
It's really good. It makes you smell like
no, what are you gonna say?
Tactile stimulation.
Let's hear it. Another secret spilled.
It's cinnamon. It's the new thing.
The new love potion.
It's the new thing.
Great.
You see people, like big giant people in the Midwest having sex outside of Cinnabon at the mall. Big piles of icing.
Right.
It's the new thing.
All right. Cinnamon ice cream coming up. Yeah, that's the thing. It's hard to eat a lot of cinnamon because it's like this stick or powder, or, you know, how do you get a lot?
Well, most of the cinnamon that we get here isn't really cinnamon. It's like, we don't, because cinnamon's very expensive. We get that other stuff that's, it's a relative to it. Cassia?
Yeah.
If we get cassia, we don't get cinnamon. Like, when you really do get cinnamon, like, you sparingly, because that stuff's strong, man.
Gosh, I should have got some cinnamon from my friend who was just in India. Oh, well. Well, thanks for that tortilla soup.
Note.
That was very enlightening.
Lots of garlic, too.
Are you part Mexican?
My name, Aguero, is from... I'm mostly Polish, but my father is a mutt, and Aguero comes from Spain through Cuba. That's a whole big story. Apparently there's a village in Spain called Aguero with an umlaut, and I kind of wanted to bring the umlaut back over the year.
Nice.
just because who doesn't want an umlaut?
A Germanic umlaut?
I don't know if it's Germanic or not. At this point, it's superfluous.
Yeah.
I'll call it that.
I'll call it superfluous.
It's decorative. I don't know.
Some point, some guy from that village moved to Cuba and I guess just started having sex with everybody. And that's where the
European
way. Maybe he was eating a lot of cinnamon. He brought cinnamon to the new world.
Tankards of beer with some cinnamon.
Oh, you should make a beer with cinnamon. Have you ever done that?
It's awful.
Oh, why?
Like a lot of people, amateur chefs or whatever, they're like, they ruin a soup and they're like, oh, just put some cinnamon in it.
What?
It's like this old thing that it can fix any problem, but it doesn't work well with beer.
Well, I wasn't trying to fix this.
No, even when you try to intentionally meld flavors together with cinnamon and beer, it doesn't work that well.
Okay. Well, I imagine you probably tried almost everything. Like, whenever...
Spiced winter ales, yeah. That's where we try.
Yeah, like a pumpkin.
Yeah, it doesn't work well. And the other thing is, there's certain spices that don't work well in beer.
Yeah.
Some work very, very, very well.
Like ginger?
Vanilla.
Vanilla
works really well for some reason.
Ginger
is amazing. Because what happens is the carbonation in the beer combined with the hops is the perfect lift for like the ginger spice. Because ginger also serves as a surrogate to hops.
I think ginger is also a really good circulation helper too.
It is, but it's for your stomach. Yeah, like so different. It's funny like that. Like that's what I was saying with With cinnamon, it concentrates in the mouth. So like certain herbs are warming, and but the where they send the energy or where they send the circulation to is different, like different regions. Mm. That's interesting.
All right.
So I say like garlic too. Garlic is a stimulant.
Oh, that right? would that doesn't go well in beer.
No. I'm sure somebody makes garlic beer somewhere.
All right, so Shane, one last question. What is your sexiest romantic date meal these days?
McDonald's.
Yeah. Homebrew.
Homebrew?
Homebrew.
That's it?
Homebrew beer. It'll
feed you all four food groups. Yeah.
Yeah. You got protein, right?
That's kind of cheating, though, man. Mm-hmm. Just like giving just some beer.
Whatever.
Yeah. All right. I guess that works.
All right.
That's tried and true.
Yeah. Next time. Next time, hopefully, you'll have another answer. He's answered this too many times, so he's bored of this game.
Right now, there's no sexy food in my life because I'm 100% devoted to Beer for Bees.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully some of you guys will be coming out there and seeing this labor of love take place all over the stage and all over the Bell House floors, ceiling, balcony, everything. So
it'll be a good time.
Yeah. All right. So thanks so much for coming here, Peter.
Yeah,
and
no
thanks,
problem.
Shane. We'll see you next week and let's eat in.
No more you love anymore.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. The Snacky Tunes compilation has arrived and is available for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com. This compilation features live performances from some of the hottest acts around today, including Midnight Magic, Surfer Blood, Oberhofer, and more. Again, you can download this compilation for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com, and make sure to listen to Snacky Tunes every Monday at 2 p.m. on Heritage Radio Network. The following is a public service announcement from the Museum of Food and Drink. Dave Arnold and Patrick Martins have gathered a team of New York's most innovative chefs and bartenders to create a 9-course fundraiser lunch at Del Posto, Sunday, March 27th. Their intent? To kickstart the greatest food museum in the world. The menu for this unprecedented event is derived from educational themes of the museum. Chefs will draw inspiration from sources outside their normal sphere. How will a cutting-edge chef handle the Paleolithic, or a dish only using pre-Columbian ingredients? What will a modern Italian chef do with ancient Rome? The chefs include David Chang of Momofuku, Wiley Dufresne of WD-50, Mark Ladner of Del Posto, Nils Noren of the French Culinary Institute, Cesare Casella of Salumeria Rossi, Carlo Maracci of Roberta's, Brooks Headley of Del Posto, and Christina Tozzi of Momofuku Milk Bar. Bartenders include Audrey Sanders of Pegu Club, Thomas Waugh of Death & Company, Simon Ford of Pernod Ricard, Damon Bolte of Prime Meats, and Eben Clem of Be Our Guest Restaurants. Proceeds from the event will directly support the Museum of Food and Drink. Tickets are very limited and $250 per person. To purchase tickets, please visit mofad.eventbrite.com. That's mofad.eventbrite.com. Once again, mofad.eventbrite.com. Sponsored by Pernod Ricard, Heritage Foods USA, Pat LaFrieda Meats, Barter House Wines, Del Posto Restaurant.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.